Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Driving Me Crazy, coming to you live from Beechtree Studios near beautiful Pinehurst, North Carolina. This is the only show where a husband and wife drive, talk cars and life, and still love one another each day. Here's John and Laurie. Or is it Laurie and John? Oh, take it away, you crazy kids.
Laurie and John.
I purposely didn't say anything.
Because you usually are the first one to always speak up. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Thank goodness. Well, hearing your voice is a great way to start the day.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Thank you so much for that. Well, at least you can hear my voice this week. It's been 6 weeks of unrelenting coughing, but now I read that some great...
Yeah, you ought to live with her. Hack, hack, hack.
But now I read that there's some terrible stomach virus now going across the country, so it really just seems
really?
To be one...
Really? I had not read about that. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's been in the papers, a big stomach flu that's getting everybody off guard. And so if by any chance you catch it, dear listeners, please stay hydrated, plenty of water. In fact, we're going to be talking about water later on in the program as we discuss the 2023 Infiniti QX60 SUV, the Autograph all-wheel drive, when I discuss hydroplaning, which has absolutely nothing to do with this vehicle. But, Johnny, why don't you start off and tell everybody how much we adored this vehicle?
No, dear.
Then I'll start off and tell us.
No, no, dear. I want to talk.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about driving me crazy, and then I'll talk about the car.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Normally, I get up, and I work for a while, and then I get cleaned up, and then I get dressed up for the day, and usually I'm always dressed up for the show. This morning, I woke up at 4:30, and I got up at 6:30, which is pretty early for me, actually 6:20.
Yeah.
And because I had some things on my mind that I needed to do on the internet. And I want you to know that as of this moment, I'm still in my bathrobe for the day. I've been working all morning. In fact, I didn't even stop until I heard Lori call you, Hezzy, on the phone.
Uh-huh.
So it's just I had a lot of things to do, little things. My friend who I used to work with would call that drowning in a sea of minutia. So this morning I was drowning in a sea of minutia. But... okay, just having said that, so everybody knows I'm in my bathroom, can't get that out of their minds now, can they? Anyway, we had this...
No.
yeah, that's why I did it. We had this Infiniti QX60, and there are four different... They don't call them models.
Versions.
They call... I'm sorry?
Versions?
Grades. They call them grades. They had four grades.
Oh, grade.
I thought that was in it. Yeah, four grades of the QX60. And there's the Pure, the Lux, the Sensory, and the Autograph. Those are the four. And then each one of those also had an all-wheel drive model. So there was the Pure, which was front-wheel drive, and then the Pure AWD, the Lux, the Lux AWD, the Sensory AWD, and the Autograph AWD. So we literally had the top of the line. This is the Autograph all-wheel drive. And what I also learned in looking at the specs on these, each of these vehicles, is pretty much, may not be one-to-one, but pretty much if you start with the Pure, which starts at $49,200, a lot of vehicle for $49,000 if you're looking for a luxury vehicle. But if you start with the Pure and then you go to the Lux has everything the Pure has plus some other stuff. And if you go from the Lux to the Sensory has everything the Lux had plus some other things. So you're getting more things as you go up the style? Yeah, style level.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so by the time you get to the Autograph all-wheel drive, you have everything that can be put on one of these vehicles. That's the point, I guess. And so while it starts at 49.2 hours, which is the top of the line, was 65.5. So you're talking about almost $20,000 difference.
But it doesn't sound like a lot, does it?
Well, when you start talking big, when you start talking big numbers, it really doesn't. When you're talking about luxury vehicles anymore, and I don't care which one you pick, you can pick the Infiniti, you can pick the Cadillac, you can pick the Lincoln, name some other ones, whatever. They all are in that kind of that price range.
Right.
You're going to spend $60,000 to $70,000 to $80,000 to $100,000 because of certain things. Maybe a lot of things are hand done or whatever. This one, for example, and I don't want to steal Lori's thunder because she's got a lot of things to say about the interior and a lot about the car, but this thing, I mean, you open the door and the light comes on that shines on the ground, or you close the door and the light is on that shines on the ground, and it has the light shines where you're getting out, and it's got the logo for the vehicle. You know, that's a simple thing, but it's thoughtful. That you can see where you're stepping out, you know, in the dark. You open the door, and it lights up the area so you know what you're stepping into as you step out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a little thing, but you don't see it on very many vehicles, but you certainly see it on this one. This one, like, and we've talked about the Cadillacs before, but this one had seat massage. And instead of having to do anything on the dash, it was actually just a button right on the edge of the seat, just above where your controls are for your power seating, you know, forward, back, up, and down. Right above that, there was just a button, and you pushed it, and the massage feature came on the seat. The seats are heated. The seats are air-conditioned. They are ventilated, quilted, leather,
mm-hmm.
incredibly comfortable. You have two settings for the drivers, so I could set my seating the way I like my seat for it, push the button one, and it goes to my seating. Lori could have another one. She could have her own and set it so that you get in, you push the button. It always goes to your best driving location.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of vehicles, especially the upper-end vehicles, have these kinds of things. My point being, this is not only a really pretty car, I didn't even talk about that, beautiful styling. It's just a great car to look at. And we tend to get people talking or at least commenting on our vehicles if they like them. And I'm talking about going to the post office,
yeah.
usually, because there's mm-hmm. lots of cars in the post office parking lot. You know, you pull in, park, and get out, and somebody looks over and says, that's a really nice car, or, wow, what is that?
Mm.
So this car gets those kinds of responses, which I thought was really
yeah.
cool, that people noticed it and liked the way that it looked. And it is a really, really pretty car. Then you've got all these features, and heating and air-conditioned seats and, you know, dual controls and, I don't know, everything. And it's a big vehicle. It's called a crossover SUV, but it's a pretty good-sized vehicle. It had a V6 engine, which normally, you know, I always talk about underpowered vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This V6 really seemed to be mated to this vehicle. Plenty of get-up-and-go, instant response, 9-speed transmission, very smooth, very quiet, handles like a dream for a car this size, but really comfortable because it's big and it's long. It's 6.5 feet wide and 16
mm-hmm.
feet long. I mean, that's a big wheelbase that absorbs a lot of the road condition, so you don't get the bumps. And, of course, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's got the technology for quiet to make it a quiet vehicle, too. I thought it was great. I mean, if I were really looking for a luxury vehicle, it's a lot bigger, I think, than Lori and I need. She's going to talk about grandchildren and stuff. And it has
mm-hmm.
three seats, three rows of seating. The one little thing that I will say I didn't like about it, with the third row of seating up, it blocked a good portion of the rear window. I put those
mm-hmm.
third row seating down, and it opened up that whole – I could see better out of the back. I didn't like that part of having it blocking the back window. But that would be the only – that's the only thing in this whole car that I would tell you that you know, I didn't really care for. And when I went to put the back seats down, it's interesting. You pull a tab and the headrests fold forward. And then you pull the tab and the seat just really is flat, goes flat across the back. And you have an incredible amount of storage space, even with the back seats up. So, I mean, really an interesting, very well thought out, very well designed, very handsome, practical, luxury SUV. Go, Lori. At least you've gone to sleep. I can't hear you, honey. You're on mute. She was talking. Okay, I'll keep going.
Okay.
Or not. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, we can. We could hear
okay,
her before.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
We can't. You're doing something because you just went away. Anyway, let me say a few things while she's figuring out how to use her phone.
Okay.
The vehicle gets 25 miles to the gallon highway and 20 miles around town. That's an average of 22, which
That's
is good.
That's huge.
Yeah, very good. For a car this size with a six-cylinder, 22 miles per gallon is average is great.
Uh-huh.
I also went a little further with this one in looking at things. It's got an 18.5-gallon tank. And I like to make things practical. So if it's got an 18.5-gallon tank, even at 20 miles to the gallon, that's 370 miles you can go between Phillips. Well, 370 miles, I bet we don't average, and I'll bet you most people don't average, unless they're commuters, they don't average more than about 10 miles a day. Well, if you don't drive more than 10 miles a day to the grocery store, the post office, or the doctor's office, or take kids, whatever, you only need to fill up once a month.
Uh-huh.
Now it becomes practical. What does all this mean when you have a 20-gallon tank and you get 25 miles to the gallon or whatever does that mean? When you can apply it practically to your own lifestyle, then it means something.
I'm here.
Well, thank goodness.
I'm so sorry. I had technical difficulties.
Yeah, you couldn't get it off mute.
Okay.
No. I didn't have enough battery on that phone. In any event, Johnny's right. This is a real eye-catching vehicle. When I took it out for its very first drive, in fact, it was to take Johnny over to the medical center, and he got out of the car, went inside, and I parked the car, and a woman came over to me, and she said, "That is an absolutely gorgeous car." Very first time out of probably, I don't know, six or seven times, people literally stopped to talk about it. It's a beautifully designed car, but more importantly, it's a thoughtfully designed car.
Amen. I agree. I think that was even more key. It's a beautiful car. But the engineers put a lot of thought into it.
Now, this, for example, this may sound foolish, but it's not. It's until you need it. The second row seats are captain's chairs, and they have a center console. But you can remove that center console in order to make it more easy to get back to the third row of seating. Now, incredibly, there's a ton of leg room between the first and second seat, but in a car like this, the leg room between the second and third seat is usually a little compact, let's put it that way. And it is with this as well. However, this said, if you have somebody who is pretty athletic, or more importantly, if you have children who do not require children car seats.
Young and slim.
Yeah, that third row and getting back to it by removing that center console between the two captain's chairs in the second row is a real big asset. I mean, it really, truly is. And if you are a family of, you know, mother, father, and four kids, or even five perhaps, but four kids for sure, when you remove that center console, then you have more easy access to your children in the third row. I know this sounds a little, you know, specific, but that is part and parcel to how varied this car can be. It would be perfect, despite what Johnny said, for the two of us. As a big SUV, you didn't feel it at all. You did not have any sort of feeling whatsoever that you were driving a large car. It just, but it is. but it's wonderful. And then if you're, like I said, a family, if you're somebody who is engaged in sports and likes to, you know, go and do something in the back of Beyond, no. And this is what I mean. This is an all-wheel drive car. It's tremendous in certain circumstances. We took it along sandy roads. We took it along dirt roads. We took it along roads when we were having torrential rain, and it was marvelous, especially the automatic sensor wipers, fabulous. But this is not the vehicle you want to take, you know, up Rocky Mountains and really into the back of Beyond. You just, it's a luxury vehicle, and you don't want anything to happen to it. Does that mean it's not sure-footed? No, that doesn't mean it's not. It is sure-footed.
That's what you love about the all-wheel drive.
And but it's not, I'm going to buy this car, I don't care, you know, if I get it damaged or something, I just want to take it wherever I want to go. No, you cannot take it.
Let me tell you a quick story.
Wait, let me finish my sentence, my darling sweetheart. No, you can't take it, you know, into a canyon or anything of that nature. You don't want to, but it is all-wheel drive. It is not four-wheel drive. But
okay,
this says, now, Johnny, why don't you tell us your story? Okay.
Just real quick, because you're talking about taking it, you don't want to drive it through the rocks. I understand exactly what you're talking about. Sand roads are okay, and even dirt roads, it's fine. And water and all that stuff she's talking about. Yeah, that's okay. I had a Blazer, the old K5 Blazer, which was the big one. And there was this, like, dam, and it was made out of boulders. And I thought, I can drive down that. And I did. But you wouldn't want to take this car and try to do that. Remember, the K5 was a four-wheel drive. It was an off-road vehicle if you wanted to do that with it. With the lock, you remember the old lock-in, lock-out hubs? You had to get out and lock them in and all that, put it in four-wheel drive and that. You know, that was the K5 Blazer, and it would go up the side of a tree if you knew how to drive, I think. But, yeah, so I didn't think it that much. I was young and stupid. I think I'm just older and stupid. But I was young and stupid back then, and so going down the dam with all these boulders and stuff and driving through it, that seemed like a lot of fun. I wouldn't do that with this car. That's the point. There are cars that are made to do that. This is not made to do that. It's made to be comfortable, get you places, haul things. I think Lori's going to talk about hauling things or towing things with it because it comes with a tow package. Let's see, what else? Honey, you got anything you wanted to add to that part?
Yeah, I do. It does come with a tow pack.
Yeah, I thought so.
So if you've got a boat, if you've got a trailer, not necessarily a massively big one, but it has a 6,000-pound tow capacity. It has a trailer sway control, which is terribly important. It has the tow hitch. It has the tow wiring harness and a tow electronic control unit, which will, again, help you stabilize whatever you're towing. So, yes, this is definitely a great vehicle for an outdoorsman, especially because of all the comfort. If you're going a long distance, then this is beautiful. It's magnificent. But I do want to say something. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show about water. And, you know, you get into a vehicle such as this that you think can, you know, manage every circumstance. And it pretty much does, with the exceptions we've already discussed. However, many of you know this, but for those of you who do not, when you put a car in any vehicle in a rainy situation, whether it's light rain or torrential rain, and most especially if it's torrential, hard driving rain, you never, ever put your car in cruise control. If you do that, you run the risk, and most likely will, do something called hydroplaning. Hydroplaning is when the water in front of each of the four tires is pushed under the tires to create almost like a layer. Good example. Take the top of a saucepan. Put some water on your countertop. Put the top of the saucepan on your counter, and you will see that move. It will move because you've created a layer of water that is means that you have no direct contact with the countertop. In this case, you have no direct contact with the road. So when you hydroplane, you have a layer of water between the tire and the roadway, which creates a you don't have direct
surface.
It's more than a surface. You don't have direct contact with your tire. If your tire's not directly contacting the road surface, what do you have? You've got a big problem.
Lack of control.
Does that usually happen because you go too fast?
No.
Yes.
You can even go slowly.
Hydroplaning.
The hydroplaning creates a layer of water, which then means your tire has not got traction on the road surface. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. Going fast will be a worse consequence, obviously, than if you're going slow. But that's true in any kind of situation. Whether you go fast or slow, it's going to have a different, result. If you have an accident, but you must be very careful. So even though we're touting this car as able to do just about everything except in extreme conditions, any vehicle, a truck, a car, anything, will hydroplane. Do never. And the reason I want to make mention of this is I did drive this vehicle in a really torrential rainstorm we had last week. I mean, through lakes of water that had accumulated on sand lanes, on dirt lanes, and on asphalt. And you'll understand this when I describe this. You're driving on a road, an asphalt road, and you come along a big puddle, almost like a lake, and you go through it, and you feel your car lose contact with the road.
It just moves. You feel it move slightly.
Yeah, that's hydroplaning. So now, how is this car in rain? It will hydroplane like any vehicle. That's my point here. However, in rain, it's got, as I mentioned, these automatic sensitive windshield wipers that will go faster if it's very, very rainy, go slower if it's just a light drizzle. It has I'm sorry for stuttering. I've got so much I want to say about this car. The responsiveness of this car is phenomenal. It handles so beautifully. It's quiet. It's responsive. There's no shimmy to the wheel. It has a 9-speed automatic transmission. You never, ever, ever feel it switch into gears. It's a Sitka V6 engine, so it is powerful. If you're on a road and for whatever reason you need to go fast past a car in front of you or any situation where you have to accelerate, it's seamless. It will respond instantly. You have no give, no delay. It'll go right into it. I mean, it's just so well designed. Also, everything is where it belongs. It's got a tremendous 10.8-inch heads-up display so that you can see what speed you're going on the windshield, but it also has a magnificent system where you can, navigate.
11.4 inches, that one, isn't it?
12.3 for the
12.3.
The Infinity InTouch interactive display screen.
Yeah, it was big and very, very useful, very handy.
Navigation is easy to program, the GPS. The radio is easy to program. Everything's where it belongs. But I found it seems like we have to learn with every single car we get how to put it in park, reverse, drive. And it was the same with this. There's a button on the side of the shift, which is in the middle of, it's on the floor to the right of your, between the two seats. And there's a button on the side of the shift that you have to press in order to go into reverse or drive. Park, there's a button on top of the shift that you have to push. It's not rocket science. It's easy, but you have to get used to it. And for people like Johnny and me who were raised with a stick shift on the steering column and suicide doors and smoker's windows and cigarette lighters.
The big deal was to get four on the floor,
Yeah, so this was a bit different. Now, as far as extras, it comes with floor mats, as you'll be thrilled to know that. The only options are two types of lighting packages. One is pretty much a design thing. It has a welcome lighting with the logo, so when you open the door, that shows on the road or the pavement, and it also has illuminated kick plates. And then that's part of – that all comes to about $1,500, no big deal. But it says here, and has you love this, the carpeted floor mats are complimentary. I've never seen anybody say that floor mats are complimentary, but it is. So for that over 68 grand, which is a lot of money, let's face it, but you're getting so much with this vehicle. This is amazing value for this car. There's nothing it doesn't do. As Johnny pointed out, you can, you know, cancel your massage therapy appointment because you could just sit in your driver's seat and get massaged. Also in the
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, you're probably right. But it's comfortable, just beautifully designed. The way they have the stitching, the leather appointments, the dashboard, I mean, it's just elegant, but understated elegance. So would I buy this car? Absolutely in a heartbeat. I would love to own this car.
I like that phrase, understated elegance.
Yeah.
I think that is a very, for this particular vehicle, that's a very accurate review.
But again, not to put that over anything else, thoughtfully designed, mechanically designed to be just, you don't have to think about, there are some cars where you get behind the wheel. You really have to think, and sometimes it takes an effort. You've got to be very aware. You've got to really think how to manage it. This car, you just get in and drive. It does all the thinking for you. It's just comfortable. It's convenient. Everything is where it belongs. You don't have to go to college to understand how to drive it, like some cars where it's so complex.
Don't get away from this without mentioning all the safety features.
You do that. That's your big thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we're running out of time, and I wanted to make sure that everybody knows that this has all of this. Not only does it have a plethora, I think I even said that in the review, a plethora of airbags, but it's got all the things on it to keep you out of accidents as much as possible.
I can read the list right here. It's the predictive forward collision warning. That is, I'll tell you, I never thought that that was going to be important until I realized how important it really can be. So if you're coming too close onto a car that's parked or slower ahead of you, it's going to warn you. Forward emergency braking with pedestrian detection, really important.
I told you the quick story, but I told you that about driving down and the car in front of me was stopping, but it didn't have brake lights. And my car knew that that car was stopping before I could tell that it was stopping. That kind of technology keeps you out of accidents.
And it's a real lifesaver. High beam assist, lane departure warning, lane departure prevention. That's a little extra that we don't see on many, many cars. Blind spot warning, blind spot intervention. Again, another perk. Around view monitor with moving object detection. In other words, anything that's going around your car, whether it's a pedestrian or anything of that nature, or another car, it's going to detect.
Yeah.
Rear automatic braking, that keeps your braking much more solid and not so abrupt. Rear cross.
Stop for a second. In Pinehurst, and we love Pinehurst, that feature is probably the most used feature of any of the ones on the vehicle to keep you out of accidents. We don't have a lot of parallel parking. We have angular parking. And it's difficult when you're backing out to see to the right or to the left of you sometimes. This kind of technology keeps you from backing out in front of someone because it can see them coming faster than you can see them coming and stops you from backing into someone. I like it.
And so anyway, all the safety features and then some. It has 5-star rating across the board for side crash, 4-star for frontal crash. It's a beautiful thing. So as far as your gas consumption, you're going to get 25. I thought we got 25 all the time. 25 highway, 20 city for an average of 22 miles per gallon. For a car this size, that's pretty extraordinary. In any case, Infiniti, well done. Out of 10, 11. I loved this vehicle. I really, truly did. And the fact that it can hold six grandchildren or five grandchildren and one of the two parents, and then, of course, I'll always be driving behind the wheel. Right, Johnny?
Yeah, I'll be at home in a chair because I'd be pulling my hair out. What little I have left.
So that's the review on this car of the week. Really, it was a real pleasure to drive this vehicle. So again, folks, we're talking about the 2023 Infiniti QX60 autograph, all-wheel drive, and I apologize for talking so quickly, but in this half hour, I couldn't even get enough in that I'd love to tell you about, so I had to talk as I could. And that's us for this week.
You'd think you were from New York.
Good,
you talked
Yeah, I am. Anyway, Hezzy, I hope you have a good week.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Hezzy.
Glory.
Thank you,
John.
Too, my friend.
You take care
right,
of
buddy.
Each other. Be well.
We will.
And listeners, as always, thank you so much for spending some time with us this Thursday morning. Have a great and safe and healthy
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Be well. Bye. Oh, does it get better than that? I don't think so. I mean, it's like I'm really pushing it. It doesn't get better than Lori and John, and John and Lori. They are just really phenomenal, really wonderful people. And I don't know if you could hear that, but I sense it, you know, when they talk. I never met John, but I met Lori. And I have to get my rear end over to Pinehurst one of these days. Before I get too old and frail. So that's going to be important. Well, there are a lot of things that are going on around the world, on the world stage. So let me just quickly look. I want to make sure that I also give you information about what's happening here on the local scene. Bear with me a moment here. This, I think, you'll find very interesting. We posted this yesterday. Mount Vernon Mayor, the Comptroller, and the City Council set the record straight, and they did so by responding to a school district disinformation letter, and they did so by sending their response to New York State. So in an effort to correct the public record, and respond to disinformation that endangers the future of public education in Mount Vernon, the elected leadership of the city of Mount Vernon in New York had yesterday written to the New York State Comptroller and Attorney General to provide documentation and context with regard to a series of inaccurate statements contained in the letter made public by the school district. Quote, while it is disheartening to see such a letter be sent, politicized, and dramatized to the media, we would like to take some time to set the record straight on what has been alleged and what steps we as a city are taking to move forward. So reads the official letter to the state from Mayor Sean Patterson Howard, Comptroller Darren Morton, and City Council President Danielle Brown. The city's letter to the entire state legislative delegation and county leadership was sent yesterday to New York State Attorney General Letitia James and Comptroller Thomas P. DiNapoli. It documents the fundamental errors in the school district's widely publicized but wildly inaccurate and politicized allegations. The city's letter to the state concluded, quote, we have engaged with the school district privately on how to proceed with these unpaid monies, so it was shocking to see a strongly worded letter sent to your office and promoted to news outlets while discussions were ongoing. Nonetheless, we stand ready to work with your offices and the school district to rectify this issue as quickly as possible for the betterment of all Mount Vernon residents. So those are the issues that impacted Mount Vernon. And by the disinformation letter that was sent out by the Mount Vernon City School District based in New York State. So I don't know. That is the problem nowadays. We find that too many people politicize issues that need not be politicized. And the politics also divides a community, wherever it happens to be, on whatever issue is out there. So, and that becomes problematic. And also, people's opinions are such that they've been maligned by politics rather than that of a thinking individual. People are not thinking so much as wanting to feel part of the clan, whatever the party affiliation may be. So they conform to the concepts, the standards that are set by particular political party lines. And that is appropriate on many issues and many levels, but not completely. So not everything needs to be politicized. Not everything is conservative or Republican or Democrat or Working Families Party or whatever designation you want to label yourself as part of. No, one can literally eclipse many of these issues and just formulate a concept based on the facts and based on the reality. And you can also still include a political perspective, but not where I find that too many people just focus on the politics and forget everything else, expunge it from the telling. And that's where it goes wrong. So hopefully that will wise some people up. Anyway, let's look at what is happening. On the world stage. So, the death toll from Turkey and Syria and the earthquakes that caused over 19,000, or over 20,000 now, as aid struggles to reach victims. The death toll from the catastrophic earthquakes that hit Turkey and Syria rose to more than 20,000 on Thursday, as more bodies were pulled from the rubble of collapsed homes in the stricken zone. Turkey's Disaster Management Agency said on Thursday, and these are some of the highlights. The death toll in Turkey has risen to more than 20,000 in Turkey and Syria. Turkish officials said 16,170 people had died in Turkey. Officials and medics said 3,162 have died in Syria, bringing the confirmed total to 19,000, but since this morning, over 20,000 have been declared that have died. More than 63,000 people were injured in Turkey, said the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. There were no official reports on the number of injured in Syria. Monday's quake, followed hours later by a second one, almost as powerful, toppled thousands of buildings, including hospitals, schools, and apartment blocks, leaving thousands of people homeless. Erdogan has declared a state of emergency in 10 provinces. And during a visit to heavily affected southern Hatay province, the Turkish president acknowledged shortcomings, quote unquote, after criticism of his government's response to the disaster. More than 12,000 Turkish search and rescue personnel are working in the affected areas, along with 9,000 troops. More than 70 countries have offered rescue teams and other aid. A first United Nations aid convoy crossed the border into rebel-held northwestern Syria on Thursday. The United Nations has released $25 million from its emergency fund to help kickstart the humanitarian response in Turkey and Syria. Well, anger is growing in the Turkish city of Kahramanmaras at the slow pace with which aid is reaching one of the areas worst hit by Monday's earthquakes. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who continued touring devastated areas on Thursday, has acknowledged shortcomings in the authorities' response, though adding, quote, "It's not possible to be ready for a disaster like this," end quote. Turkey's Disaster Management Agency said more than 110,000 rescue personnel were now taking part in the relief effort in more than 5,500 vehicles, including tractors, cranes, bulldozers, and excavators had been shipped. United Nations Aid Chief Martin Griffiths will visit Gaziantep in Turkey, that was the center of the earthquake, and Aleppo and Damascus in Syria this weekend to assess needs and see how the United Nations can best step up support. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, had said, Guterres also pushed for more access to rebel-controlled northwest Syria, where the distribution of much-needed aid is fraught with daunting political and logistical challenges. Roads are damaged. People are dying. Now is the time to explore all possible avenues to get aid and personnel into all affected areas. We must put people first, Guterres told reporters in New York. Well, 2 dozen children from northern Cyprus and some of their parents were on a school bus to join a volleyball tournament in Turkey when Monday's massive earthquake hit their hotel. The only thing that remains of it now is a flagpole located on the main boulevard of Adıyaman in Turkey's devastated southeast. The hotel was completely flattened. Dozens of other buildings on both sides of the long road have suffered the same fate. Rescuers worked through the night to reach the students at the collapsed hotel in Adıyaman. Well, the 24 students aged 11 to 14 were staying at the hotel along with 10 parents, 4 teachers, and a trainer. Officials told agents France Presse, Nazim Kavusoglu, a Turkish Cypriot education minister, said one teacher and three parents, were rescued when the quake first struck. The bodies of 2 teachers were pulled out of the rubble late on Wednesday. 33 people are still trapped, the minister added. Students were on a tour to join a school volleyball tournament. Well, Algerian team joins the rescue effort in Syria's Aleppo. Syria is one of several countries that has sent rescue teams to both Turkey and Syria in the aftermath of the deadly earthquakes. President Abdelmajid Tebboune said he wanted Algeria to be at the forefront, quote-unquote, of the response, and to have Algerian civil protection units be among the first to reach the stricken areas, including in government-held parts of Syria, where Western aid agencies are unwilling to have any dealings with the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. Well, the death toll exceeds over 20,000, surpassing Japan's Fukushima disaster. More than 20,000 people have been confirmed dead in Turkey and Syria following Monday's earthquake, a grim tally that exceeds the 18,500 confirmed deaths from the 2011 Fukushima disaster in Japan. Giving an updated death toll, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said that 16,170 people have died in his country alone. In Syria, 3,162 deaths have been reported, but in reality, it's over 20,000 now. The first United Nations aid convoy has reached northwest Syria, where everything is needed. The first United Nations, bear with me a second. One second here. I don't know what happened, but I somehow lost it, and I can't seem to find it back. So it's not the end of the world. We'll move on. There's so much news to cover. Bear with me a moment. One second. This is really very important. You can count on us, says the European Union, in their telling Ukraine as Zelensky visits. Seems like the European Commission head Ursula von der Leyen told Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky that Ukraine and the European Union are one family and that the country can depend on Europe for continued support in its fight against Russia, as Zelensky visited Brussels for a summit with European Union members and leaders on Thursday. So we'll see where all that goes. We'll find out a little bit more about what's happening. One second. Interesting enough with regard to Zelensky, he repeated his demand for a fighter jet on France, on his French and UK visits. So Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky on Wednesday made his first visit to Britain and France since the Russian invasion almost 1 year ago, pressing his allies for more weaponry and in particular fighter jets. Making just his second venture abroad since the invasion, Zelensky enjoyed a ceremony-filled day in London where he met King Charles III and addressed Parliament. His visit to France, which by contrast appeared to have been squeezed in at the last minute, saw him hold a late dinner meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron, joined by German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. But despite the contrast in formats, Zelensky's demands were the same, more weapons, especially fighter jets, and longer-range missiles and faster deliveries. The sooner Ukraine gets long-range heavy weaponry, the sooner our pilots get planes, the sooner this Russian aggression will end, and we can return to peace in Europe, he said in Paris. There is very little time, he warned. Macron pledged that France would help Ukraine to victory in fighting the Russian invasion and would press on with efforts to deliver arms. France is, quote, determined to help Ukraine to victory and the reestablishment of its legitimate rights, he said. He added further that Ukraine can count on France, its European partners, and its allies to win the war. Russia cannot and must not prevail, he said. Scholz said that Germany and its partners had backed Ukraine financially, with humanitarian aid and with weapons, adding, quote, we will continue to do so as long as necessary. As the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion looms and Ukraine braces for a new Russian offensive in the east, Zelensky is pushing ever harder for friendly nations to send tanks, jets, and missiles. Britain said it would consider the proposal for combat aircraft in the long term, although the United States and other NATO allies remain wary of getting more embroiled in the conflict for fear of provoking Russia. Britain has offered to train Ukrainian fighter pilots on top of an existing program that has already prepared 10,000 troops for battle. Zelensky, dressed in his usual green fatigues, received waves of applause as he made a historic address to both the lower and upper houses of the British Parliament on what was only his second overseas trip since the war began after his trip to the United States. Quote, I appeal to you in the world for combat aircrafts for Ukraine, wings for freedom, he said. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's office said he had tasked the defense secretary with, quote, investigating what jets we might be able to give, but to be clear, this is a long-term solution rather than a short-term capability, end quote. Speaking alongside Zelensky in front of a British tank, Sunak said that, quote, nothing is off the table, end quote, for Ukraine, including fighter combat aircraft. Quote, of course, they are part of the conversation, end quote, he said, but held back from giving a concrete commitment to provide fighter jets. Zelensky said that fighter jets that had been discussed and reiterated his call for longer-range missiles. Russia subsequently said that there would be a response from Moscow should Britain supply aircraft to Ukraine. And after the hurried meeting in Paris, which the Ukraine leader himself described as spontaneous, Zelensky is due to meet European Union leaders in Brussels on Thursday. Zelensky has, on occasion, shown impatience with Macron, who held frequent telephone calls with President Vladimir Putin even after the invasion and even expressed concern that Russia should not be humiliated in any final settlement. But Macron has now indicated France wants to support Ukraine until it emerges victorious in the conflict and announced it would send light tanks in a move that prompted Germany to follow suit with battle tanks. I believe he has changed, quote-unquote, said Zelensky in an interview with Le Figaro Daily, which is published ahead of the talks. Moscow said on Tuesday that Russian forces were advancing toward Bakhmut and Vugleda, two key centers of fighting in the eastern Donetsk region of Ukraine, now the flashpoint of the war. On Tuesday, Denmark, Germany, and the Netherlands promised that Ukraine would get at least 100 tanks in the coming months as the German defense minister visited Kyiv. Now, Germany recently gave the green light for Leopard battle tanks to be sent to Ukraine after a tireless campaign by Zelensky and allied countries. Germany's defense minister said that Berlin hoped to deliver the first tank battalion to Ukraine by April. Putin, however, remains defiant, and updated maps of Russia have gone on sale in Moscow's bookstores that annexed Ukrainian regions, Zaporizhia, Kherson, Lugansk, and Donetsk. Putin regularly refers to them as our historical lands. Okay. Well, I'm not going to read any more news to you. One second. Bear with me one moment here. I'm going to sign off now because there's a special meeting that's going to take place by video of the Yonkers City Council. So I need to find out what that's all about. Bear with me a moment. I'm going to go before I shut down because I had expected to go on till 12 today, but that's not going to happen. I wanted to read to you what is happening today. There's a special meeting of the Yonkers City Council, which is scheduled, that's scheduled for Friday. Okay, that's for tomorrow. But then there was something else today at 11 o'clock. I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to find out where my notes are. So whatever the case is, I'm going to sign off. We'll speak to you tomorrow. All the best to everyone, and thank you again. Goodbye.